VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, House Democrats delivered an article of impeachment to the Senate against former President Donald Trump. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. Representative Jamie Raskin read on the Senate floor part of the 14th Amendment that those who could not hold office if they've engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof. The article of impeachment states President Trump gravely endangered the security of the United States and its institutions of government. They're seeking to bar former President Trump from ever holding office again. President Biden yesterday indicated that an impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump has to happen. Many were shocked to learn that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court would not be presiding over the trial, but rather it will be the longest-serving Senate Democrat, Senator Patrick Leahy. While addressing these critical issues facing our nation, we welcome back to Crosstalk constitutional attorney Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Matt has argued before all levels of court, including landmark cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. He's an author. He's speaker on the radio program Faith and Freedom and Freedom's Call. Matt, good to have you back with us today.
Good. Thank you. Good to be with you.
Matt, just before we get into this impeachment issue, already, we saw signs of competency issues leading up into the election day, but they're manifesting themselves after election day as well.
Yeah, you know, they talked about the 25th Amendment against President Trump, and of course that was all bogus. But I think Biden might regret talking about the 25th Amendment because I think it really will apply, and the more you see him in terms of incompetency and mental lack of acuity and sharpness and some mental form of dementia, which I think, unfortunately for him, he has, or some version of it, that's going to become more and more of an issue. Because one of the things you had last week, he's walking into a building. There are Marines there at an attention. He has an entourage around him. He's walking up the steps. He's not looking at the Marines, and he's got a handler speaking into his earpiece who is telling him, salute the Marines. He is so out of it that he mistakes this directive to salute the Marines to just simply repeating what he's often apparently used to. He just repeats what somebody says in his earpiece, and he's walking past these Marines, and he says, salute the Marines out loud. It's on C-SPAN. It was live.
My.
And, of course, he never even salutes the Marines. Now, he's been president. He's been a vice president for 8 years. He's been a member of the Senate for many years. He knows the protocol, but he's so far out of it, and he disrespects them. He doesn't salute them, and he actually repeats what his handler is trying to tell him to do. It's very sad to see it, but it's frankly also disgraceful.
Now, Matt, you said also there is a directive given to him by Vice President Harris?
Yeah, he's signing an executive order, and the cameras are clicking, and she slides the executive order into his presence to sign it at the desk, and he says, what is this I'm signing? And she says, just sign it.
Wow.
He doesn't know what he's signing. And so I think, unfortunately, he's like a puppet for other handlers, including Kamala Harris. But I think, you know, it's very possible that this 25th Amendment could actually backfire and be used against him. But maybe that's their plan, because even before the election, before November 3, there's a video of Harris's husband walking into a small room, because they always had very, very small gatherings anyway, no crowds like President Trump had. And he's walking in, he's all excited, and he says, I'm married to the next president of the United States of America.
Wow.
Now, that's a shocking statement, because he is the husband of Harris. So what is he thinking? What is their plan? Who knows how that will ultimately play out?
I just found this clip here as well. Let's listen in.
You need to make sure you have a president in the White House who actually sees you, who understands your needs, who understands the dignity of your work, and who has your back. A Harris administration together with Joe Biden as the president of the United States. The Biden-Harris administration will have access, provide access to $100 billion in low-interest loans and investments for minority business owners. We will provide $15,000.
Barry, I'm going to stop right there. Freudian slip,
wow.
Matt?
Yeah, no, you know, I think it may be a Freudian slip, but obviously I think this is the clear intent of where these people are going. They want to put Harris in the Oval Office, and she was the least popular Democrat on the Democratic ticket. She got small percentage of the vote. He picked her because of gender and race, which obviously it seems like they don't believe in now. They want to deconstruct gender within the school system and everywhere else. But I think their ultimate plan is probably more accurate with what Harris's husband said. He thinks he's married to the next president of the United States, and he's not, I don't think, talking about a future election.
No, and we heard this periodically from Senator Harris at that time, saying a Harris-Biden administration. We even heard Joe Biden call it a Harris-Biden administration. But, Matt, so the folks, these are real issues that are going on right now, and the question is, how long will he continue in that position, especially with some of these things that are surfacing here, even since the election? But, Matt, the number one question many people have today is, can an impeachment trial be held for a former president of the United States?
No, it's very clear under the Constitution. It's illegal to do what the Senate and the House are doing. And we're calling on the Senate to just stop this unconstitutional act. If you go to Article 2, Article 2 of the Constitution is the section of the Constitution dedicated to the executive branch. It begins and ends with critical language. Section 1, right at the very beginning, says the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold office during the term of 4 years. Note the word office. The very last sentences of that same article, section 4, says the president, vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. The key word as you begin Article 2 and as you end Article 2 is the word office. According to the plain language of the Constitution, impeachment may only be used against a person currently in office. President Trump is not in office. He is a private citizen. You cannot impeach a private citizen. If you can impeach a former office holder, that means all you need to do is get a majority in the House and the Senate, you can go impeach every other office holder that's ever held office in the federal government or a civil officer, which would include, say, for example, an attorney general or somebody like that. You could impeach them, and you could eliminate them as potential competition for the next presidential election.
Well, again, and there are those who are saying, well, maybe Obama needs to be impeached for inciting Black Lives Matter riots. Nancy Pelosi herself, who just 10 years ago, when this mob had invaded the Wisconsin state capitol, we had all this massive riots and protests going on in Wisconsin over Act 10, signed into law by Governor Scott Walker. Nancy Pelosi praised that kind of uprising. How far do we go with this?
Well, you know, impeachment is for a very extreme situation. And first of all, to have jurisdiction, the person has to be in office. If the person reaches the end of their term, there's no reason and no authority to impeach. If the person resigns, there's no authority or reason to impeach. Remember Nixon? Nixon was facing potential impeachment, and so what did he do? He resigned.
Yeah.
Did they continue to impeach him? No. Why? Because they had no jurisdiction to move forward. When you have resigned and you're not in office, you are a former office holder. You are a private citizen. And what they're trying to do, what the Democrats want to do, is they want to get to the punishment of impeachment before they actually address the question of whether they have the authority to impeach. And the punishment for impeachment of a person who is impeached that's currently in office and you remove them from that office is that they can have a punishment of not having the opportunity to run again. So they don't want President Trump to run again. And so they're wanting to short-circuit the process and go directly into impeachment so that he would never be able to run again. But this is an unconstitutional charade. Moreover, in addition to it being unconstitutional with zero authority, the Chief Justice, under Article 1, Section 3, is supposed to preside over any trial of a president in the Senate for impeachment. The Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, has refused to participate in this charade. So you have another unconstitutional provision here that's taking place.
And Matt, this is what Senator Rand Paul is referring to. I mean, he indicated that this whole thing is illegitimate. He said if the Chief Justice does not preside, and really, he said it really goes to show that it's not really a constitutional, you know, effort here to impeach someone who's not president.
Yeah, and you know, the Chief Justice made the right call. He's not going to preside over this kangaroo court, and that's in fact what it is. It is a kangaroo court. He's not going to have any part of it. And the Constitution doesn't say, well, if the Chief Justice doesn't want to preside over it, then we go to the most senior person of the Democrat, of the majority party that's moving forward with the impeachment.
And Matt, that begs this very, can a partisan be a fair judge?
Right. No, and that's why you have a Chief Justice who's outside of that elected branch to get somebody who's the senior Democrat, and the Democrats are impeaching it. I mean, that's just absurd. It's like a kangaroo third world kind of system. It's like, well, we can't get any real judge to handle this case, so let's just go out and let's just point somebody as a judge, and they'll handle this case. And then, by the way, let's move back to the House. In the House, not one witness, not one piece of evidence introduced, and Trump was not allowed to have a lawyer to defend himself. I mean, does that sound like the United States of America, or is that some kind of sham situation that you'd have in some repressive regime, Marxist or communist country? It sounds more like that. So the whole process from the very beginning had no witnesses, no testimony, no defense. Then it rushes over to the Senate, no Chief Justice presiding. In fact, you have a senior Democrat, and the Democrats are pushing this over to this impeachment trial. But then the question is, can they even entertain it? No, because he's not in office. You can't impeach a private citizen. If you can impeach a former office holder who's a private citizen, then you can impeach anybody, even if they've never held office, who is a private citizen. Because what we're talking about is impeaching a private citizen who's not in office.
Matt, and let me interject this here, too, because we're talking about what they're seeking to do is to put in Senator Patrick Leahy as to preside over this. Now, Matt, Leahy voted in favor of removing President Trump in the first impeachment trial.
Yeah.
How can he be non-biased?
This thing is so bizarre, and it's so offensive to our Constitution and our basic fundamental right to fair trial and due process that the Senate should just literally be outraged, and everyone should be outraged at this. Because remember, as Trump said, and I think it's true, this is not just about Trump. This is the first target, and everyone else is going to be after that, and some of them are already targeted, as we know, with the censorship. But they want to silence anybody who is a conservative, anybody who believes and loves God and loves America, that believes that maybe there may have been some fraud in this election, which I think there clearly was.
Folks, we're going to take a quick 1 minute break here. Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. The impeachment article has been delivered to the Senate, and we're breaking it down here for you today. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen, is not constitutional. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do secular scientists say the universe came from?
You know, Chris, it sometimes tickles me when evolutionary scientists mock creation thinking for claiming that creation was ex nihilo or out of nothing. But then they turn around and talk about the Big Bang, when a single speck of matter exploded to form all the stars and galaxies and planets and people. But, you might ask, where did that speck come from? Some scientists now say it appeared out of nothing as a quantum fluctuation in a vacuum. In other words, matter appeared from nothing, and then it exploded. Which would you rather believe, evolution ex nihilo or creation ex nihilo? At least in creation, we have a God that is powerful enough to accomplish the job. And that's the Back to Genesis perspective.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Staver is with us today from Liberty Counsel, their website, lc.org, lc.org. We're talking about the impeachment article that has now been delivered last evening to the United States Senate as the parade, the very solemn-looking parade, went through the Capitol there to the Senate to deliver these articles. And, folks, it's outrageous to see what is going on here. But, Matt, I'd like to ask you about something here, because Senator Amy Klobuchar says, indeed, this process is constitutional, saying we have precedent. We've got precedent. Now, she didn't really identify who she was referring to, but it appears she's referring to a time in 1876 when a Secretary of War was tried after he left office. Is there any correlation?
No, you know, the fact of the matter is the Constitution is so clear. Even if there was some issue that happened, so many hundred years ago, and somebody didn't follow the Constitution, or the facts are completely different because of him being in the military and some other connection, the fact of the matter is you have to deal with the text of the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And Article 2 says that the president shall hold office. That's Article 2, Section 1. Article 2, Section 4 says the president shall be removed from office. From what office? The office that he holds for 4 years. How is he removed? By impeachment. That means he's in office and you can remove him from office. There is nowhere in the Constitution that you can find that you impeach someone who's not in office. I mean, obviously, the whole point of impeachment is to remove somebody in office in between an election cycle, where they've done something so outrageous that it requires their removal from office. But when they're out of office, that's not an issue anymore. Constitution doesn't give the House or the Senate jurisdiction to go after private individuals, even if they were former office holders.
Matt, let me get into another section of the Constitution and have you comment on this, because those that are delivering this article of impeachment, and they read from the Senate floor part of Amendment number 14, specifically Section 3, where it says, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president and vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state, who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or given aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may, by a vote of two-thirds of each house, remove such disability. So they are using this Article 14, Section 3, as the basis for their moving forward with this impeachment.
Well, first of all, they didn't have two-thirds vote in the House. And secondly, they're not going to get two-thirds vote in the Senate. So that's a moot issue. But beyond that, insurrection has a specific meaning. And when you go back, and that's why they didn't have any witnesses in the House and they didn't present any evidence in the House and they didn't allow the president to defend himself in the House, because it's all a sham. Because what the president did was not insurrection. He did not provide comfort to people who are engaged in an insurrection. He gave a speech, and the incursion into the Capitol occurred either before a speech was even finished, and the people that he was speaking to, they were still there.
Mm-hmm.
They were still there. They're not leaving where he's speaking and then going over to the Capitol. These are people that actually didn't even hear his message.
Yes.
They wouldn't have even heard his message. Moreover, he was supposed to speak earlier. He spoke later. He was delayed. And so those people that planned to go in thought that his speech was over. It was not. And in some cases, they began to make their incursion even before he began speaking. So you can't blame what President Trump said and call it insurrection. Moreover, if you read what he actually said, he never incited any riots or violence. He encouraged people to go to the Capitol peacefully.
Peacefully.
Peacefully. That's not insurrection. He didn't say, take up arms, go in there and storm the Capitol and make them sit down and listen to you. He didn't do anything to that effect. So, I mean, the whole point is just, it's just a political, it's really a shame because it is a political vendetta. It is vindictiveness. It's divisive. It has no constitutional basis whatsoever.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. And again, folks, as President did call for peaceful demonstration, and we understand that this breach at the Capitol began before the end of the speech even occurred. I mean, Senator John Cornyn said, and then we look at, you know, putting in a somebody other than the Supreme Court Chief Justice who's going to preside over this as being a partisan, one who voted in favor of impeaching the president, to remove the president at the last trial. And Senator John Cornyn is saying that the process itself looks like a railroad job. And folks, that's what's going on here. Matt, Congressman Jim Jordan, he spoke about now President Biden's call for unity, the Democratic Party calling for unity. And then he asked this question. He was on Fox News. He said, how do you unify when you're trying to impeach a president with no due process? There was no due process in this situation here.
There was no due process in the situation. Even Senator Lindsey Graham says there's no witnesses, no evidence, and no attorney was allowed to be president on behalf of President Trump. I mean, that is, if you describe that, you would assume that it's in some backwoods Congo kind of banana republic system or some repressive Marxist communist regime. But this is the United States of America, and this is how the president of the United States has been treated by these Marxist socialists there in Washington. It's so bad. Here's a representative, Stephanie Murphy, a Democrat right here in Central Florida where our main headquarters is located. She's now proposed a bill. And this goes back to what I said before. This is not just a target at Trump. He's their first target, but not the last. Every one of you who believe in God and love America, you're the target as well. So she has proposed a bill to bar from the armed services or federal jobs anyone who essentially is a Trump supporter or who publicly voiced concern about the 2020 election fraud. I mean, that just takes your breath away.
Yes, it does.
Jim. I mean, this is a representative, a Democrat, says that you should never be able to hold office and you should never be able to serve in the armed services, I should say. You can't fight for and defend your country of the United States of America.
Yeah.
And you can't even hold any federal job at all.
And, Matt, when you look at the broad extent of this, I mean, we've got AOC calling on, you know, we need to have media literacy. We have to rein in the press. You've got others who are talking about weaponizing, in essence, using the IRS again to go after, you know, what they call right-wing organizations. You see people that are calling for the deprogramming of conservatives, that there needs to be more money into, you know, just redoing the thinking of individuals. I mean, there is no end to where this is going. And there have been many thousands that have been banned now from Twitter. Mike Lindell, the latest.
And Mike Lindell just got banned permanently from Twitter.
And because of his support for the president. And we're seeing that there is much, much more to come in all of this as well. But Matt, there just seems to be an overriding agenda under what's taking place. I mean, certainly we saw glee come from many and the media. Yeah, the only president to be impeached twice. We see glee happening and yet the faces of somberness. This was very difficult, you know, in us making such a critical decision for our nation.
Look, if you impeach your president of the United States, that is a somber moment, and you have to have very significant, serious evidence and concern, so much so that it would be impossible to allow the election coming up to resolve this issue and let the people speak. And it's always going to be throughout our history a very rare occasion that that is done, but it should always be very somber. This is nothing to celebrate.
No, and then also, I mean, the extent to which this is going, Matt, we've got banks now that are closing accounts of President Trump, refusing to do business with him. Bank United is one of those.
Yeah, well, we've seen that already, and before even all this happened on January 6th, before with other people, we've seen banks shut down, conservative organization, credit card processing just be shut down. Online, Stripe is one of those that have done that. We've seen Discover and other credit cards try to block. I've got an email from a Discover Diners Club representative to a credit card landing page. It wasn't regarding us, but it was sent to me regarding another organization that's actually out of Michigan, wanting to block that financial transaction of the cardholder to a particular pro-family organization, not a violent one, not somebody who's promoting violence by any means, just pro-family. So this has been happening before. And now we're seeing it happen to the President of the United States, and who's now the former President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. This is not going to stop with him. And so here's what I think. You know, obviously this is ramped up to an unprecedented level. When Twitter banned President Trump, they actually got international backlash from Angela Merkel, believe it or not, out of Germany and France and Mexico and others around the world pushed back on that. We've seen Uganda actually ban, shut down Twitter in that nation because Twitter was trying to interfere with its elections. So what we've seen is a pushback, and I think we're going to see more of that. But what we cannot do is be intimidated or silent, because I think all of this will be overplayed. Those people who thought that this was going to be a panacea to have Biden there, I think they're going to be woefully, revealed as to the fact that, oh, this was a huge mistake. I think there's going to be a lot of buyer's remorse. I think this will all backfire. This is not the United States of America that represents the center-right or even moderates around the country, and most people that would even consider themselves liberal. They're not down this road. They're not wanting to punish people that they disagree with. Some are, no doubt about it. But I think what will happen is all of this will be overplayed. I mean, look at the first 3 days of Biden after January 20. You have him killing 50-some thousand jobs, making Canada mad, never even gave him notice, and Canada's threatening to file suit because they invested $1.1 billion, one of the provinces, in the XL pipeline. You had a state, Texas, already file suit over the immigration issue. You have the unions pushing back against Biden because of all the jobs that are being lost. You've got now the people that are working on the wall. They're losing their jobs this week because the wall will cease. So you have this overwhelming backlash that I think is already coming against Biden.
Matt, the trial normally begins within 24 hours after the articles of impeachment are delivered to the Senate. In this case, we understand the trial is being postponed to the week of February 8th.
Yeah, it's being postponed, and I don't know why they're postponing it other than the fact that, they're wanting to just drag this out there and hang this over the president. I think they're trying to drum up more votes. There are, unfortunately, some Republicans like Mitt Romney, even Mitch McConnell, who are sort of gleeful, wanting this to move forward. But we understand Mitch, you know, he's tied in too deep to China.
We're going to pause right there because I want you to explain that further. But folks, again, and the delays too are also being said that so they can get more of the Biden appointees pushed through as cabinet positions and other appointments as well. So back in a minute, what about this China connection with McConnell? Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Year after year, generation after generation, we as Americans enjoy the right and opportunity to let our voices be heard through the election of our governing officials. With over 200 years of peaceful transition from one elected body to another, the stability of America's republic stands alone among nations. Our founders pledged their life, their fortune, and their sacred honor in the establishment of this nation. Our country's founding documents have guided this nation and are the substance by which today's laws are judged. Do you own a copy of the Constitution? Documents of Freedom
is a pocket-sized booklet containing the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all other amendments passed. The booklet also features the Declaration of Independence and Washington's Farewell. Documents of Freedom is available for a donation of $5 or more to VCY America and can be made by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Much to unfold here today. Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us from Liberty Counsel, LC.org, LC.org. Friends, let me just mention this before we get back to Matt. We've been talking about these different articles in the Constitution, and the Constitution is not all that long. We have available in a little booklet, it's called Documents of Freedom. It includes the Constitution, which is also the Bill of Rights, all the amendments, the Declaration of Independence, George Washington's farewell address. It's in a pocket-sized booklet that you can put in your purse, in your pocket, carry it with you. We make these available for a donation of just $5 here, saying thank you for your support to Crosstalk. And if you'd like to obtain one, or we find people are getting multiple copies of this Documents of Freedom, just call our switchboard here at 800-729-9829, 800-729-9829, or visit vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org. Ask for Documents of Freedom. And more, folks, that we've got to go back to our reference book, our source book here for our nation, the Constitution of the United States. Matt, yesterday we had Center for Immigration Studies with us, Mark Krikorian from that organization. We talked about how the U.S. was being made a sanctuary country for illegal immigrants. So it would stop, because President Biden stopped deportation. Something just happened, though, just not long ago here today.
Yeah, just today, a federal judge ultimately ruled in favor of Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, and he filed a suit against the Biden administration over this this blocking of the deportation. And so the federal judge just entered an injunction blocking Biden's executive order nationwide. It's halting this deportation, cessation, I should say, that Biden has said that he's going to do for the first 100 days. So this is the first setback. We're not even a week post January 20, and he already has his first loss in a federal court. I mean, that's probably a record. I don't know of any president who's gotten blocked by a federal court that quick in the presidency.
Matt, going into the break, you had mentioned some kind of ties to China with Mitch McConnell. Could you break that down for us?
Yeah, if you go back to 1993, February of 1993 is when McConnell married Elaine Chao. Chao has been in the Bush administration. She was also in the Trump administration. Her father and family have been in shipbuilding. And so they went, then after they got married, they went over to China. And they had meetings with high-level officials, and that's when they started up their boat-building, ship-building operation in China. The way it works, as I understand it, is that the family, ultimately, and this is the wife of Senator Mitch McConnell, so he's very much tied into China, they're providing the operation to build the ships. China provides the money to build the ships. And so if you have a rocking of the boat too much of China, China can just simply pull the plug, because that's the financial resource and the financial, income that they have from this operation. So it's no wonder why Mitch McConnell didn't want to pursue any issue with election fraud. It's no wonder why there was information that China had interfered with the election. Attempted to interfere with the election, and that came out from the highest sources of the federal government, that there was evidence that China was interfering with the election. And it's no wonder why Biden didn't want to push that, and it's no wonder why he might want to silence President Trump's voice, because of his ties going back to 1993 to China itself. I mean, that is part of the reason why you see some of his compromises, and he's a compromised individual. Under Trump administration for 4 years, he really did well in terms of one particular situation, and that is pushing federal judges through for confirmation. And so I appreciate that. But on The actions that he's done since the beginning of this year, and some of the attempts to discourage other senators from even talking about election fraud, having any discussion on it, it's very shocking. But when you go back to his history, you can a little bit understand that he's kind of tied at the hip to China.
Friends, we're opening phone lines. If you have a question regarding the issues we're talking about here today, our number 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. Perhaps something Matt has said has maybe prompted another question in your mind you'd like to ask, or something uncertain regarding the Constitution on this issue. Matt is a constitutional attorney. Our number 800-733-9829. So Matt, the House sped this through. It did not go through the normal committee hearings like we normally would see. The president did not have legal counsel before the House. Will he have legal counsel in the Senate?
Well, that remains to be seen. He's supposed to have legal counsel in the Senate, but in the Senate, really, I mean, it's a sham to even begin it.
Yes.
It's like, let's have a legal counsel in China. Let's try you in Pakistan for blasphemy. And we'll appoint a lawyer to you, but we're going to have the hearing before a panel of Sharia judges. How would you feel about that? And I think that's the kind of situation you have here. So the Republicans should give no countenance to this at all. They should push back and resist it at every step of the way. We have a fax program and a petition that we are sending to the Senate leadership or the Senate Republicans, or you can choose all of the senators, both Republican and Democrat, to ultimately push back on this, because this is outrageous and we ought to have our voice heard very loudly and very clearly to these senators.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Counsel. And folks, you can be in contact with your senator. You have two of them. If you want their direct numbers, you can look at senate.gov and you'll find a very easy way to find your two senators, or you may go in through the main switchboard at 202-224-3121 to the United States Capitol. This is the Senate switchboard, 202-224-3121, to communicate with your senators. Matt, I know you also have action points on so many different issues. Give us your websites that listeners can connect with as well.
You can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org, just lc.org, and then also our sister organization, Liberty Counsel Action, lcaction.org. That's lcaction.org.
And Matt Staver again with us today. Let's go to the phone lines. They're packed. We're going to begin with Merle in Tennessee. You're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for taking my call. In my view, I feel we are way beyond politics now. I believe this is open rebellion against God, against God's ways, against God's people. And I believe we're looking at a Obama third term, and I believe he's wanting to crash and burn America so we can fit into the one world order. And quickly about that rally in Washington, I tell you, about 90% of it was made up of teachers, policemen, veterans, grandmas, grandpas, wives, husbands. It was normal Americans, 90%, that cared about their country.
Well,
and I would just say this, we need to keep our lamps lit.
Thank you for that. Much more than the 90%.
And yeah, I think it was actually more than 90%.
Yeah.
It's just a small, small number compared to the hundreds of thousands.
But, Matt, there was infiltration taking place here as well. That's been well documented.
Yeah, we know that there was a very radical BLM person who was advocating. He was wearing a Trump hat. He went in. He did some filming. He was advocating to burn down the place.
Videos have been released of people actually changing clothes into pro-Trump, clothing to give the appearance that they were pro-Trump when in fact they were not.
Right. And you know, I know that there were some people that were pro-Trump that got caught up in
it.
I don't know of anybody that was pro-Trump that caused violence, but I do know that there were people who ultimately orchestrated this. If you go back to, and I do know that it's a small, small, small percentage to the hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people that were there. And, you know, if you go back to, and by the way, these people, like I said, Trump was still speaking. You're over there speaking. You had to get into that location, and then they closed it off because it was full. Those people didn't leave. And his speech wasn't broadcast over big microphones throughout the Capitol. So those people that were even around the Capitol, they weren't hearing his speech. So they didn't go there because of his speech.
Thank you, Merle, for the call. We're going to Pastor Mark in Missouri. You're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question. I hope you don't think it's a dumb question, but I find everything confusing. Because of what seems to be a tearing down of democracy, i.e., the constitutional rule of law is being thrown out. Are there any written legal limits existing that this new democratic government can and cannot do? It seems to me that there ought to be some way to stop anarchy. So, like I said, are there any written legal limits that this new democratic government can and cannot do?
Well, certainly there are legal limits. In fact, the Constitution is the legal limit, and what you have to do is enforce it. So here's a good example of that. On January 20, Biden issues an executive order where he's going to halt any deportation for 100 days. He never, according to the law, as he's supposed to, consult these different states that are directly affected. Texas is one of those. Texas files suit last week. Today, a federal judge ultimately ruled in favor of Texas and is blocking that order. So, yes, he did that, but it's illegal. So now a court has ultimately stopped him on that illegal order. So I think that's what you have to do all along the way, is challenge these unconstitutional provisions and speak out against it and make sure that they are enforced.
Well, one of my questions then would be, I know the Constitution exists, but this is like a baseball game where only one team is allowed to bat. And I guess I'm confused in that we ought to have people that represent us that just will not allow the Constitution not to be obeyed. Or is that,
well, sure.
Like I said,
and
that stupid
for me to
even think
that? Let me just give you an example in the Senate for this impeachment sham. You've got this inertia being pushed by the Democrats. There may be a few Republicans like Mitt Romney and perhaps even Mitch McConnell who are in favor of it. But there's a lot of Republicans that say, no, this is unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. Lindsey Graham is one. Rand Paul is one. Ted Cruz is one. Josh, you know, Holly. There's many, many others as well that are pushing against this. So they are there holding the line. We need to encourage them.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, for the call. Dawn is next in Milwaukee. You're on the air.
I want to comment on President Trump's second impeachment. I think it's a smokescreen by the Democrats not to deal with the voter fraud all the evidence and push it behind, because the pictures of the people coming in to break into the White House were Antifa. You know, some people that got caught up in the situation, but I saw General McInerney on a small interview on a 2 or 3 minute clip say that they had gotten Nancy Pelosi's laptop and that was being given to Mike Pompeo, and that they said that discovery of what was going on was going to come out. And now I think this is the hugest smoke screen so that the truth of the matter and the undermining that the Democratic Party has done to this president, all with all the smoke screens, so that he could not address the truth of the true issues in our nation, or keep him from being effective prosecuting him illegitimately.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. We'll have Matt comment. I believe a laptop was being tried to give or sold to foreign entity there as well. But Matt, your comments on what Don was saying here.
No, I think you're right, Don. And I think it's a big smokescreen. And they want to clearly look on the election fraud. They want to bury that. And anybody who says anything about it or Trump, they want to stop it. They don't want any discussion about it. But they can't bury it forever. Because last week, for example, when you look at the inauguration speech of Biden versus Trump, farewell speech, huge difference. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Okay, thanks for the call. And by the way, we understand, was it a $1.something billion lawsuit against Rudy Giuliani by Dominion as well? Matt Staver with more comments here after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Monday, January 25th, 2021, kicked off the Great Global Reset Conference of the World Economic Forum. And true to form, they're calling for global governance, digital economy, social credit scores, banks and investment firms to align their portfolios against the free market system, and for climate change and radical environmentalism. Well, we also heard at this conference from the UN Secretary General. He used to be the president of the Socialist International Party, so you know what you're going to get there. And the president of the World Economic Forum, well, he used to be in charge of the Sustainable Development Goals for the United Nations, which is, among many things, just international socialism. So, my friends, they needed to move out a president that was opposed to globalism as they bring down America to bring down the other Western worlds for the Great Reset.
Constitutional Attorney Matt Staver with us today, and from Liberty Counsel, lc.org is our website, lc.org. So, Matt, take us to that inaugural speech. Some interesting information.
Yeah, you look at President Trump's farewell speech, and millions of people watched that. You look at the inauguration speech, and a small handful of people watched it, and then there were far more dislikes than likes, such that the White House and also YouTube had to recalibrate the dislikes, so they took them off, but then the dislikes shot back up. Same thing with the press secretary's speech, very few people watching it. So, and you can't have the narrative that Biden got 80 million votes and yet nobody cares to watch him. I think who's watching that, these small numbers are the same small numbers that he barely got to show up half a dozen people at these different election campaigns situation. And they're not going to be able to hide that forever. First time he goes out and has a public address somewhere, he's going to have a small crowd. And so I think the truth will continue to come up, and they're not going to be able to continue to suppress it. Look, they're not going to erase 70-plus, nearly 100-plus million people, when you include the families of these individuals who voted for Donald Trump. They're not going to be able to erase those voices.
Salute Marines. Okay. Ron in St. Cloud, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Yes, Matt, I had a comment and kind of a question. When Nancy Pelosi called the president an imposter, and the media, many in the media called him illegitimate, what do they expect when, you know, people question their legitimacy?
Well, they have only a particular one-way view, and that is they can make these allegations and they can change their views, and then they can actually completely flip and make it appear that they've always believed that one way. I mean, it is a party with no truth. It is a party where the most radical fringes of America that are destructive to America is the tail that is wagging the dog of the Democratic Party. So I think that they will continue to become even more radicalized because they can't help right now in that they have empowered a radical fringe voice, and they don't know how to stop it, and it'll continue, I think, to cause this whole charade to implode over time.
Thank you for the call, and let me just point out as well here, folks, again, let's harken back to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, she's just appalled as what transpired here, but let's just go back 10 years ago, February 17th of 2011. The state is Wisconsin. Our capital is at stake. Thousands are marching to the Capitol. Many go into the building. They occupy the building around the clock, folks, nearly a month. I mean, people moved in with their pillows and their blankets, and they disrupted state business day in and day out. The governor would hold a special event, the Special Olympics. They would interrupt that event. And what does Nancy Pelosi tweet out at that time? Here it is. I stand with the students and workers of Wisconsin. Impressive show of democracy in action.
Yeah, and then you have all these riots that are going on in Seattle, Portland, and other places, and burning, destruction, I should say, destruction. And you hear nothing from Biden, Harris, or any of the Democratic leaders, and this just happened.
Let's go to Vincent in Fort Myers, Florida. You're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to say that for the most part, Christians and conservatives, we basically turned our back on Donald Trump in the sense that, you know, right now it should be an uproar, not of violence, but it should be an uproar of boycotting. We know back in the 60s that the boycotting was very, very successful.
What are you going to boycott, Vincent?
Well, I mean, some of these businesses, some of these same banks we doing business with some of these same banks that just closed Donald Trump's account.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Twitter, you know, Facebook and all them. You know, we get on. We just love Facebook. And all them people cut President Trump off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matt, go ahead.
No, I think there needs to be a backlash, a pushback. Yeah, we just can't take that. Look, we have two options. You either remain silent and you become a slave. That's not an option. Or you push back. And as you're saying, yeah, push back in a peaceful way. But we have to push back. We have to do it very strongly, and we have to keep on doing it because I believe this will backfire against them. They're not going to silence 70-some million people in America and pretend like we're not in existence.
Barry in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, we're talking about the Constitution. We have to understand these people don't care anything about the Constitution. Mm. They're trying to destroy the Constitution.
Yeah, yeah.
And what we're dealing with, you know, these people aren't liberals. They're radical revolutionaries. There's a completely different animal there.
Yeah.
They're trying, what we're seeing right now is a coup d'etat. And they're trying to take over this country by whatever means possible, and even to the point of if they have to use UN troops to come bring them to this country. This is serious. And the only thing that's going to change things is a sincere prayer on our faces to get serious with God.
Thank you, Barry. Indeed, prayer is so badly needed for our nation here as well. But as Pastor Mark pointed out, you know, the only one side is playing by a rule book in the process here. Let's get to Joanne in Rossville, Georgia. Joanne, you're on the air.
Yes, concerning the impeachment, if that was to, say, fall through now and the President Trump got back in office, would they be able to bring that up again?
Well, that's what they want to do. They want to prohibit him from ever considering even running again in the next presidential election.
So
they want to bar him. But they also want to literally try to humiliate him. And, you know, they're doing everything they can outside of the Constitution. And we cannot tolerate that. That is just intolerable. We have a Constitution in the United States of America, and these people are sworn to uphold it.
Thank you for the call. We are out of time. Again, folks, to contact your two U.S. senators, you can do so at 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. And Matt, for those who'd like to be in contact with Liberty Council?
Yes, lc.org, lc.org. And you can also go to Liberty Council Action, lcaction.org, lcaction.org.
As always, Matt, thank you so much for meshing this out for us in understandable language.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matt Staver with us today from Liberty Council. The impeachment article has been delivered to the United States Senate, whereas the week of February 8th, they are to come together and hold proceedings. And according to our guest today, this whole process is not constitutional whatsoever. It's been handled like a kangaroo court. Folks, we need to continue to be praying, continue to be active, and maybe you ought to consider, ladies and gentlemen, running for office. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.